Hello and welcome to Three Wide No Cover. It's Derby Day weekend. That means we're nearly at Melbourne Cup Day. And I'll tell you what, I'm joined by two of the best, Julian Varane, Simon Marshall, and it's just a little bit special this year. We can't go on course down here in Victoria, but we can at least go to a pub and watch it now. Thank goodness for that. How are you feeling, mate?
Yeah, very good. Ripping day as always. I reckon the Coolmore Stud Stakes is probably... Well, it surpasses the Derby in terms of races. It's an absolute ripper, but the Derby's obviously got plenty of intrigue as well. The Empire Rose is a ripper, and there's another Group 1, and I can't even remember what it's called.
Cantala,
there's the Cantala,
Derby.
And that's just an absolute minefield.
Yeah.
Ripping day. Hopefully we get the cash early, I reckon, Esther.
And the great thing about it, Julesy, just before, spoiler alert, that the track's going to be in decent order, so you can trust your good track form. Perfect conditions out there. Flemington's absolutely shining. Unfortunately, the owners can't attend, but in terms of a jockey, owner, trainers, connections to all of these horses, you're ready, you're set. Mm. This is the best day of racing over the 4 days at Flemington for sure.
Mm. It certainly is, Esther. Well, let's get straight into it. Julesy's track report.
True position, entire circuit. Perfect conditions. Good four, I think, we'll start on. There's just no real rainfall to speak of, maybe a couple of mils. Be interesting to see whether they actually have to put some irrigation on the track maybe Friday night. Worth noting, 20 to 30 southerly, so that's actually a tailwind in that sweeping home bend you can see there on the track graphic there. And if that becomes a bit of a southeasterly, it actually then will give them a little bit of a tailwind up that big home straight as well. 1,000 to 1,200 metres, let's look from just a barrier perspective on where the good places theoretically are going to be. And you can see middle to outside up this straight on a true track when it's a good four. Middle to outside are the go-to places usually. Now, we haven't raced there since Turnbull Stakes Day, so I wouldn't be signing off. You're still winning winning strike rate of 27% on the inside, but your ROI is a little bit negative. Middle to outside is the way I'm sort of playing to begin with, and until obviously we see some races, we'll make a decision to stay agile there. 1,400 metres plus, so obviously the circle races here. Leaders only at 13%. We know the Australian average is 21%. As you can see here, though, it's just pretty well even across the board. I just think this track's going to race absolutely beautifully. ROI, the positives, it's all across the board as well. It just sets up that this track is going to play sensationally on Derby Day. I will say, good four at the moment, if we don't get any more rain and this track continues to dry out, I just want to be on horses that are probably on speed a little bit, just due to the fact that if you're running really fast times, if the track ends up becoming a good three because the times are blistering, they're inside standard time, it can be very hard for those horses, midfield and worse, to be able to reel off a quick enough section to get in front of those horses that were at the front. So just keep that in mind, but beautiful conditions, I think, for Flemington for Derby Day.
Very good, Julesy. All right, let's jump into the racing now. It's the Derby Day. It's Derby Day, so let's look at the Derby. And you spoke about horses that could be near the speed. Young Word at the favourite there at $4, hopefully in that position in the Derby. Cherry Tortoni at $4.20. Hit the Shot at $6.50. Alborado at $7. Let's Caraca Deal at the $10. Redwood Shadow at $15. The Tour of Duty, and you wouldn't believe it. He's going to say Seshwayo correctly, but he's been caught by the word tour here. Johnny, get angry at $34. Julesy, I'm just going to throw to you. You can take it here. Wertheimer best the rest at $34.
We had you locked in for the Empire Rose, but early payout for punters there. Yeah. You get your fill and you can just sit back and relax now for the rest of the day. That is just brilliant. Speed, no speed really on paper for this Derby. I think Let's Caraca Deal will obviously go forward. Outside of that, Born to Succeed might go forward. Young Verda gets an option to sit in the 1-1, could even sit outside lead. There's just no speed on paper whatsoever. Now, we know sometimes some jockeys might get itchy fingers and try and roll forward, but on paper, there just doesn't seem to be at all. Where did I settle in this race? This is a fascinating race in terms of you've got a horse that's the favourite at the moment, has been a little bit soft since Tuesday afternoon. Young Werther at his third race start. Now, he won on debut at Geelong. A third of a second inside standard time, but what I loved there was the last 400, 200 was very good. And then went to a race where he just had absolutely no luck at all. You can see him back here on the inside with Ollie. Quay Quay ends up winning this race. And Young Werther, well, sort of got stopped in his tracks, then got going again and just about still won the race. Now, significantly here, this was an 1,800 metre race. He's going to have 28 days off into the Derby. It's his first prep. A lot of narrative around that. I don't think the market's going to take a set against him because of those reasons. I'm with him. I think he was $3 into $2.60. I think the significant thing also is last week he was going to run in the Vase. He got pulled out probably an hour before the race. Yes, we know there's a lot of betting to be done in the last 20 minutes, but the pros had shown their hand already. He was $2.20 and hard in the market in the Vase. Cherry Tour Tony was $4.80, and now they're just about even. I think the market's going to swing back to Young Werder. I think he's the best horse in the race. I love the fact that there's not much pressure in this race, which I think is going to be okay from the 18 to 2,500 metre in terms of distance. I think he wins the race, Young Werder.
Okay, Julesy, I'm going to talk about tactics with Martial Law coming up a little bit later, but I just want to talk about how close this derby is this year. I'm taking a set against Young Werder, the favourite here. The maiden he won, the second and third horse have failed out of that race. And watching that replay there at Flemington, he had a really nice run in behind them. And when Ollie went to duck through, he wanted to lay in and he was still green. He was on the outside rein and he didn't know quite how to put them away. Yes, he did make good ground, but I thought Quay Quay was holding him on the wire at 1,800 metres. He's had 4 weeks in between and he's got to go to 2,500 as a three-year-old. I'm not knocking Danny O'Brien's ability whatsoever. We've seen it with Russian Camelot to get him fit and well. It's just the greenness and inexperience that might cost him on the day, the favourite. Cherry Tour Tony had the measure of Quay Quay, who beat Alvarado and Young Werder in that race there. It's nice to see him come back, switch off. Willie Egan's ride at the 1,000 metres to put Quay Quay in a pocket and then Cuddle was the winning ride, but then Quay Quay made a good dive at him late. Will he run a strong 2,500? He'll have to go back. Billy will lock him away and watch for a nice cute ride on Cherry Tour Tony to try and run that 25. So there's that question mark. Can he run it on a good track as well, Cherry Tour Tony, where all of his form's been on the soft. In saying that, I thought Redwood Shadow was nice and strong. He had his chance at Caulfield in the lead up. That mile and a quarter gallop where Let's Crack a Deal was nice and close in Alvarado. He overcome difficulties and he's hard fit. Let's have a look at the finish of this race. Alvarado, he over-raced mid-race, but he took off Zara down the side and got his engines up and going. And then you see Redwood Shadow to the left of screen join in and go with him. Then you got Tour of Duty, who capitulates, goes past Let's Crack a Deal, who sat outside the leader with his head on his chest. Now, I'm sticking with Let's Crack a Deal. His left ear is going up there. He doesn't quite know how to put this field away when he gets to the front and still learning what it's all about. Let's Crack a Deal. There's not much between those five horses going into a derby out of that race, that mile and a quarter at Caulfield. Let's Crack a Deal's run prior to Flemington. He didn't get clear galloping room and he didn't have the hard hit out and he was found wanting there at Caulfield. I thought Johnny Allen could have got rolling and pressed the button and put two on him at the top of the straight. He still would have looked around, but it could have been a winning move on Let's Crack a Deal. I can guarantee you right now, Team Ma and Eustace are absolutely on fire. We'll have this horse fit and well to run 2,500 metres and look for him to sit back off them and have a tail to follow and he'll hold him together and Johnny Allen will give him a target and I reckon he can bounce out of it. He's got a lot of upside just watching that race at Caulfield. Let's Crack a Deal for me each way. I can't believe he's $10.
There you go. Can I just ask you, both of you, Cherry Tour Tony, because I look at Cherry Tour Tony and I go, look, there's no knock on what Cherry Tour Tony's coming into this, but it just feels like been up for a while, bit of travel. I mean, how do you see coming in off the week?
Oh, I think he's got the perfect platform, to be honest, coming off that quick backup. The only issue I have is I usually absolutely love the quick seven-day backup, especially going up in distance for a derby and especially for three-year-olds. Soft track to dry track always worries me off 7 days. If it was soft track on Saturday, I'd probably have Cherry Tour Tony marked a lot shorter. I don't, just because I'm a bit worried about soft to dry. I still don't know if he can stay either 2,500 metres, SD.
It's good to see his acceleration to put Quay Quay in the pocket in the Vase, but then he kicked at the top of the straight and had Quay Quay put away, but then Quay Quay got beat a bees on the wire. So he's got to go to 2,500 and he's got to give them a start to do it on a dry track. Can he use that acceleration? Billy Egan, who rides him, will have to time his run and that acceleration at the perfect time. He can't go too early on him, so I'm tipping a cute ride, very similar to Efficient. If we go back to 2006, watch Mick Rod's ride on Efficient. He didn't get out until the clock tower and he just outstayed him then. So have a look at that if you're watching your replays, Billy Egan.
SD mentions a really good point. He's going to be giving them a big, big start. Yeah. Gate 14, Billy Egan's got no other choice than to go back to last just about. And if this track's really dry, as I said, backmarkers are going to find it really difficult. I don't know if he can reel off that section, but he's in the race as a life chance.
We haven't mentioned Hit the Shot, and we should, because he finished off better than any of those five horses that went over the wire at Caulfield. So he's going to really stay well at Flemington, and I would expect a three deep, four deep, 700-metre type of ride with him, and I'd go a little early on him because he looks like he's going to absolutely stay all day.
Yeah, and he was off 3 weeks going into last start. He's now off 2 weeks, so I think that's going to be that'll bring him on immensely. I'm with SD. He's got to get going early, I think.
There you go. Both going around those two, but it sounds like they may feature in the quaddie, but we'll get to that later on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a heap more racing from Flemington. Welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. We're going to HQ for three more Group 1s. We're going to start with the Empire Rose. Odium is your favourite, $3.60. Mystic Journey at $4.40. Shay Lou at $12, as if Madame Rouge. Pretty Brazen at $14. Felicia at $15. Vanna Girl, $17. She Shall Fly, $17. Chico Fuerte at $19. And Forbidden Love, $19. Missile Mantra, $23. Best of the rest. Julesy.
You've really enjoyed getting back out into this community, getting into those hotels and stuff, haven't you?
Mate, I have not been to one yet.
Three quarters cactus now, I reckon.
You know who you are. Get a beer on the bar for me. I'll be there soon.
Shout the Bar goes forward. I think Blinker's first time. I think these three-year-olds, in terms of Chico Fuerte and Forbidden Love, I think they have to roll forward. She Shall Fly, Felicia, they'll be in the first four or five. I think it's going to be probably Genuine Speed. The other three-year-old filly I speak of that is the favourite, Odium.
Yep.
I think he can be in the first six as well, and Mystic Journey probably a little bit further back. Here is Odium winning the 1,000 guineas. It was $21 into $9, so positive sign from the market. Just sat in behind him and went through the line sensationally. This was off winning a listed race, just equal to standard time, where again was at $26. This race has rated through the roof, though. 1.25 seconds inside standard time. Last 400, last 200 stacks up really well. And with 49 kilos, and the map, I think, is the important thing. If this horse had probably drawn 15 or 16, I might be slightly worried where she's going to get into the run. But she can get into the first six, and she's going to be mighty hard to run down. Worth noting, she's got 49 kilos. This is a really interesting race every year, whether you're going to get the three-year-old fillies to the three-year-old fillies to carry 49 or 50. The reason why this year they're carrying 49 is obviously the race is October 31. The weight for age scale, they get an extra kilo if this race was November 1. So we've seen previous winners. I think it was I Am A Star carried 49. Shoals carried 50. But they've got a great record in this race. There was no three-year-old in the race last year. The year before, Fundamentalist carried 50 kilos and ran third. Obviously, I spoke about Shoals and I spoke about I Am A Star. They're just so well-placed. Horses like Mystic Journey, absolutely full respect for her. She came back and won really well at Moonee Valley, but she's going to be giving this horse, Odium, a head start, and I think it's going to be mighty hard to get past her with an 8 kilo differential. And with Odium, it is just too good to pass up, I think. I've marked her much shorter than what the market is. Expect the market to really trend towards her as well.
You love your lightweight fillies in these big miles, Julesy. This is a really intriguing race for me because I thought Madame Rouge, she was okay winning her 1,400, but these mares seem to have all had their turn this time in. Pretty Brazen, she was poor behind Madame Rouge at Caulfield last start. She hasn't run over the mile since she won the Sandown Guinea, so she'd be looking forward to get back to that. Vanna Girl brings this Sydney, Brisbane form, winter form, don't know how to match her up. Missile Mantra, is she going well enough after the Sovereign Award gallop? She was 6.50 on that occasion. Felicia, I don't think, could run a strong mile. She Shall Fly has been up a long time. Shaloo is the big X factor for me. I thought she caught the eye last start behind Sovereign Award, 6.50. Caulfield didn't suit her. The race tempo didn't work out. And then she won first up off 74-week break. She's got a touch of class about her. I like her Flemington form too, so she goes in my same race multi. Odium, yes, but more pressure here. Forbidden Love, Shout the Bar, Felicia, Chico Fuerte coming back from that mile and a quarter win, all drawn outside of Odium and to pour some pressure on. I thought she had a really soft run back in the 1,000 guineas. Yes, she broke the clock and did everything right, but she's got to go to another level with the likes of Mystic Journey drawn inside her. Pretty Brazen to ask the question inside her as well. So there's just more pressure on her to go to the next level. Yep, the fact that she's got the 49 is terrific. But Mystic Journey is the mare that I want to be on. She was four deep the entire here at Moonee Valley. Perfect Jewel kicked. And looked home. But look at Betty here. This is what we saw when she won the All-Star Mile, this track and trip, when $3.60 beating the best weight for age horses going around. She won the Australia Guineas beating the boys over this trip, the mile, and she was very short in the market on that occasion. We're not going to see a win like that at Moonee Valley again in a long time. She is back. She's had a nice break in between runs, 4 weeks, I think. She's comes into this nice and fresh. And from that inside barrier, gate five, she's going to get every possible chance. And she's back to her brilliant best looking in that. So I've got to stick with Mystic Journey here and take on the three-year-old with the 49 here. It's a fantastic race. The best ride will win it. But that mare is an absolute star. And if she brings that type of form to Flemington, that all-star mile and Australian Guineas form, she'll look the winner. And I think she can win it.
There you go, Esther. All right, race six, first leg of the quaddie. First one we're going to talk about down the straight. September run, well, off the back of its last two runs, of course, the favourite, $4. Farnan at $6. Wild Ruler there at the $6.50. Swats that at $8. Anders $10. Doubtland and Ranting and Glenfiddich all at $14. Flying Award is $26 over the page there. Mudsira the same price. Our Playboy and Holyfield best the rest at $35. Julesy, this looks like one of those races where there's been a lot of horses that have peaked previously, and if any, there's so many horses you say, if they bring their best, they're a chance here. How does it map? Where do we go here?
It's just a sensational race. Absolute ripper. Four or five genuine winning chances. The map's always interesting when you're up the straight because obviously there possibly could be an advantage to middle outside. Maybe the inside's going to be fine. Really tricky to obviously get a tempo in terms of what's going to go forward because we know that they just sort of sit up. Now, we know Farn and horses like Glenfiddich, yes, he's better over 1,400, 1,600 metres, but he'll still roll forward. Anders will roll forward. There'll be enough speed, but I don't think they go mad. It's not like around a bend where you can really get horses flying like we did see in the Blue Sapphire. There was only three horses in it, but they set an absolutely crazy tempo in that race. It's just a great race. I just want to start with Farnan. He does have the synthetic hoof filler on. Don't be worried about that. Three of his wins, including the slipper, have been with the synthetic hoof filler. We've seen horses in the past, like Vera Dean, in her time, won a Lightning as well. And the market doesn't take a set against it. So don't be worried about seeing that for Farnan. I settled on September run. I just think what she's been doing has been brilliant. Her two runs up the straight. Two starts ago in a really slowly run race. I think she came home 11-1 last 200, and this was her last start again. She went all the way back to last. That's how confident Craig was with her ability after seeing her the start prior. And she picked them up, and she had the race in her keep probably at the 150, 200 metres, and then he just throttled down to look after her. She's just got a great turn of foot. I love that she's drawn wide, and I think she can win the race. But it is so deep. Farnan, if he got back to his slipper run, would be mighty hard to beat. Wild Ruler is no mug. And then you've got horses like Swats That as well, who's another good filly that wasn't too far away from September run. Tipping September run, but for me, it's just going to be one of those races where I get the popcorn out and watch it because I think it's going to be great to watch.
Merchant Navy Sunlight Exceedance. It's a champion's race, three-year-old's race, that is for sure. I just want to show the replay of Swats That because I thought she should have beaten September run first up. And the reason that Swats That didn't beat September run first up because the jock Johnny Allen didn't have a look on his left shoulder and see how September run was going and zoomed up. He waited too long. So she goes to Caulfield and has her clean out here and a gallop, beats Montessira, and a gallop out was nice and strong. She ran really good time. She is on the way up, and I'd like to ride her in this race. But to me, I'm alluding towards the boys this year. I know September run was really good, but they've both been at 1,100 metres and only six furlong gallop. It was okay. It was group level, but it was inferior form to what she's meeting right now in a high pressure race down the straight in a Coolmore. Farnham's going to bring it. You know that because he missed the Everett. And he's going to run along nice and quick. Glenfiddich's had that little throat clean up. Big question mark for him winning a mile. The Stutt Stakes coming back and his Group 1 form and the Sir Rupert Clark. Ranting, well, he beat Hanseatic and Anders. They just went slow. They sat up. It suited him. I'm tipping they're going to let rip on Anders here. Flying Award drops back from a Caulfield Guineas prep. Not happy to have him. Montessira, I thought Swats That were better than her. And September run. The only one that I haven't mentioned here is a horse called Wild Ruler. Team Snowden had to know how to get their three-year-olds ready for the big stage. His two gallops this time in at listed level and group two level at $3.10 SP and $1.60 SP beats Forbidden Love, who's won since, and also Doubtland, who won a Dane Hill Stakes. He's on the way up. And a colt that can run 109.7 faster than anything else in the race at six furlongs, he's the colt that I want to be on down the straight. He's drawn out wide, which, Julesy, your trap map The 1,000 to the 1,200 on a dry track. He's drawn to our left of screen. So he'll be looking at Farnham and Holyfield, Take It Up and Anders. And he can take a city, doesn't have to go with them. On his left shoulder will be Swat Sat. And then right down on the fence will be Glenfiddich, Extra Time, those type of horses. September Run will be trying to get on the back of him with the likes of Randy, Mama Ragan, Mudasira, all getting back in Doubtland to the left of our screen as well. That's going to be a fantastic finale. But Wild Ruler can sit off them and have the last crack. And I just like the way he's going.
There you go. Very good. All right, let's have a look at one more Group 1 race, the Cantara over the mile. Mr. Quickie, $5.50. Buffalo River, $8.50. Rock, $10. Best of Days and Nonconformist, both $12, as is Wild Planet, 50 stars. Yulong Prince at 13. Cascadian at 20-1 over the page. King's Legacy, 20-1. Harbour Views, Age of Chivalry, both at 23. Juniper and a Swag of Others at $27. Look, Julesy, I don't know if it's stacked with the same class, but it's still stacked in terms of how you marry this up. And it looks like a bit of a log jam on this in this market.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a really tricky race. $7.50 the field I've marked. In terms of the map, Buffalo River rolls forward. I think Streets of Avalon sits outside. I think Age of Chivalry, his best chance is obviously to roll forward. The Velvet King can sit probably in the first four or five. I Am Superman can do the same. I think Mr. Quickie probably has to go back. We saw Jamie take it, probably sit in the first six or seven in the Toorak. Don't think it's going to be afforded that opportunity from that wide gate. I think she'll take the medicine and go back. And there's a few other horses that we know, the Yulong Princes, the Rocks, those kinds of horses that you think will just be negative neutral out of the gate. Really, really tricky race to work out and work out what to back. Nonconformist is the one I've ended up landing on just because I just couldn't find in terms of the price those other horses. As I said, $7.50 the field for me. Here is Nonconformist now winning the 2,000-metre Kunji Cup. So he's coming 2,000 back to 1,600 metres, which doesn't worry me. We saw Best of Days follow this program 2 years ago to win this race. This prep has been awful for Nonconformist. Had some issues, then ran on a really wet track behind Junipal and then got to this 2,000-metre race. It was a softly run race, but the last 400, last 200 was okay. But what it did was it built a beautiful platform for this race. Wherever it went, this was going to be its peak run for the prep. I think it peaks here. Whether it's good enough to win the race, that's going to be the query. But I just thought Nonconformist at the price was a bit of a bet. If Harbour Views gets into the race, probably unlikely, needs three scratchings to come out. Blinkers first time, can settle in the first six or seven. It's going to be a bet for sure. I think it'll tighten right up from that $23. I marked it $11 if it can get in. Unlikely, Nonconformist for me.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it, Nonconformist? When he was seventh at Caulfield over that 1,700 metres when it didn't really suit, he carried 57 kilos, Julesy. He meets Juniper and these sort of horses better at these handicapped conditions, and Flemington is his go. So that gallop out beating Harlem was absolutely outstanding, and over the mile and a quarter, I love him dropping back with the 53. He gets cover three deep midfield, so this pattern, this high-speed pattern will be good. And out of that race, Princess Jenny went on to win a Bendigo Cup during the week, so and she was four lengths behind him. So the form's sort of been franked in that respect. Yulong Prince is the one that I want to be on each way here, in 1.3 lengths off them in the Epsom at $21. In his second over 1,600 metres to Mr. Seawolf and Finch is good enough form for me. 14, 55 kilos. I reckon he's a horse that's been set for the race, as well as Nonconformist each way play for me. If you're on Mr. Quickie, well, he's drawn 16. He's going to need a peach from Jamie Carr. We know he's only 1.3 lengths, 1.5 lengths off him in a Maccabi Diva. He's in great form. He'll be down the outside late, but he'll be giving them a start.
There you go. Plenty of value there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got Caitlin Mallion, we've got more racing from Flemington, and we're going to have a look at the big money race up in Sydney. Hello and welcome back to Free Wide No Cover. We've heard from the guys about all of the Group 1 races. Jules and Esther have given their thoughts. Before we speak to you guys about any more racing, I want to talk to our Sydney specialist, Caitlin Mallion. Caitlin, how are you going?
Good, Wally. How are you?
Very happy, very excited. I know I say I'm excited most weeks, but at the moment we've got Derby Day. It's the best race day of the year, let's be honest. The pubs are open in Melbourne and things are looking a little bit brighter before Cup Day next Tuesday. Now, the guys have spoken about their thoughts on each of the Group 1 races, and we've asked you to have a look at a couple of races where some Sydney Raiders are coming down. And the first one you've recognised here is the Coolmore. Give us your thoughts on how this one's going to go and how the Sydney horses in this Mayfair.
Yeah, well, there is a few Sydney horses in the Coolmore, and I'm really looking at Farnan closely because he's the Golden Slipper winner. He's, you know, he's a very, very good colt, and we saw what he did in the run to the Rose. I'm willing to forgive that run that everyone saw, but he bypassed the Everest where he had a slot. He had a few hiccups there, but I've seen his trial up the straight. Looked like he got the straight really well, so I'm interested to see how he can go. And he's got the man of the moment on, Glenn Boss, who is fresh off winning the Cox Plate last week. So I think he's a really strong chance in this sort of race. He's drawn well. And then you've got the Roman Consul winner, Wild Ruler, who's a really unassuming type. He doesn't seem like he's got that X factor, but he does the job and he's a real winner. So I think that he's got to be some sort of chance. Mamarigan, I feel like he's let me down this preparation. He wasn't so good in the Caulfield Guineas, but maybe the straight he could bounce back in. If Andes produces what he can in Sydney, I think he's a massive chance. I know the 1200 might be a little bit of a stretch for him. He's very brilliant, but he's a good solid galloper, that one. And then we've got Holyfield, same stable, Kieran Maher and David Eustace, who's having a great run. He's a really nice colt, that too. And so it's going to be a ripping race. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they fare, but I like the filly down the bottom, September run.
There you go. So this race, as you said, stacked with raiders. September runs a good one there. That Wild Ruler, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Absolutely smashed off the map in that last start win. So it'll be interesting to see if the market comes for that again. Now, another race, not a Group 1, but a very important race, because a Melbourne Cup runner will come out of this, which is the Hotham. And there's a couple of key chances coming down from Sydney looking to try and get that spot.
Yeah, that's right. And Brimham Rocks, he nearly did it a couple of years ago, winning, ran second in this particular race, the Hotham, to a Prince of Arran. So he's certainly up there, the old boy, and he seems like he's going really well. He's only had that one start at Flemington, so he likes the track, and that's a big, big positive. And then we've got a young horse down the bottom, Attorney. He's been really well placed by Matthew Smith. Loved his run in the St. Ledger. He's a really quality stayer on the rise, and he's drawn a nice barrier with Jai McNeil. So as long as he can get that way of going and the Flemington track, he's got to be a massive chance.
There you go. Very good. Now, it's not just big racing here in Victoria. There's a big money race up there in Sydney. And we're, of course, talking about the Golden Eagle. How do you see this one unfolding and who do we get around?
Yeah, don't forget about it, Wally. It's $7.5 million on offer here. So it's the second richest race in Australia behind the Everest. And it is a solid race for the four-year-olds. You've got Alligator Blood, Brandenburg. You've got the West Aussie Superstorm. And then the Winkers go on his stablemate Windstorm, who's a massive chance. Now, we're expecting a lot of rain, so I can see that track deteriorating even more. They've put it up a heavy 8, I think, and we've got a drying day before. But, the rain's meant to come on Saturday. So, look, I'm in with Funstar. I know she's drawn that outside barrier, but I know that Funstar's been targeted all the way through for this race, and she is an absolute mudlark. So I'm thinking Funstar. She ran well in the Epsom. And another horse, my roughie, is Riadini, the gelding. He ran third in the Epsom, and he wasn't too far away from Pobabil and Funstar, and he loves it wet. So he's my roughie for the race.
There you go. There, your tip and your roughie. You can't go wrong. Both love the wet up there. Katie, thank you for joining us again. We'll chat to you next week.
Thanks, Wally. Looking forward to it.
Well, there you go. Katie Mallon, join us again. Let's have a look straight into now the big money race up there in Sydney. The Golden Eagle. Funstar is a $4.80 favourite. Collette, $6.50. Alligator Blood, $7.50. Sierra Sue, $9. Ice Bath at $12. Flit, $15. Riadini at $19, as is Superstorm. Creediris at $23. And just over the page, Bottega and Dawn Passage, best of the rest at $27. Julesy, the map.
Really wet track here, so buyer beware. Alligator Blood roll forward, Just Thinking rolls forward. I think Riadini can be in the first four or five. Funstar's a really interesting one from that wide gate. Do they push forward and try and settle in the first four or five, or do they just go back? It's going to be really interesting what they decide to do. I settled on Sierra Sue. This was an absolutely monster performance. It was a slowly run race. Didn't have much luck back on the inside with the green, sort of the white there. 22.64 last 400, 11.3 last 200, gets up along the inside. Best of the day by far. We know this horse has got some soft track form. Obviously on the provincials has been winning, so no issue with the wet track. Now, if it's a really heavy 7,000, then maybe possibly that could be a concern, but it's going to be a concern for all of them. I love the fact that Nashua Willer goes on. Again, gate one, will it be a negative? Well, we'll have to suck it and see, but I went with Sierra Sue.
You can ring my bell, Colette. I reckon she's ready to go. She's got the wet track form. Remember, she won the mile and a quarter lead up on a heavy eight, and then she won the Oaks on a heavy eight. She's just had this prep around this race to peak now. She was right on their ginger in the Epsom behind the Funstars. Probabil won the race. Funstars drawn 22, Colette's drawn 6. And she's just going to posse up probably the two position and two posies more forward than what she did in an Epsom. And she's going to plough through this. So I reckon this is her grand final. I'm not going to overcomplicate this race because, Julesy, it's a heavy eight now. Mm. Going to be on heavy nine. There's more rain, heavy 10 forecast. So the Golden Eagle, $7.5 million. We lose a couple of these good mares to that Empire Rose, don't we, here at Flemington?
That's the sound of a Golden Eagle for those players.
It is
a
questionable impersonation
She's
of an eagle there. All right, race.
Colette too. Hello.
There you go. We're going to go to race 4 at HQ now. And I had to check this twice. It is actually the Hotham. I thought that was run and won. But no, it's called the Hotham. The Saab or the Lexus, if you're familiar. Ashrun and Shabao, $4.50 favourites. Admire Robson at $5. Future Score, $6.50. Sound at $9. Brimham Rocks at $9.50. Hush Rider and Attorney, $14. Julesy.
Not a lot of speed here. Hush Rider will roll forward. Back to a dry track will suit that horse. Don't think it's going to go breakneck. Attorney can go forward. Sound rolls forward. Then you've got horses like Karif. You know, Admire Robson can sort of be midfield. Really good. Well, it's an okay race. It's a competitive race. I couldn't get anywhere near the price of Ashrun. I saw it was the $4 favourite. Well, I've marked him much bigger than that. So I'm expecting him to drift, even though he is the international. A bit worried about that Geelong Cup form. Here's Shabao and Admire Robson in the Bart Cummings. Now, this was won by Per San. Now, this race was a hot race. 1.25 seconds inside standard time. So the track was playing lightning fast. Same sort of conditions. This is the race I want to follow. I'm trusting this type of form. And I'm with Admire Robson. You won't see it there as we saw in the replay, but 100 metres, 200 metres past the post, this horse just continued to go through the line. I love that about these kinds of stayers. Third up here or fourth up here, gets its chance. I reckon Admire Robson can win. I've marked Shabao favourite at about market price. I think he's going to be hard to beat. Zara going on, expect that horse to be in the first three or four as well, Shabao. But I went with Admire Robson. They're the two I want to be with.
Yeah, he needs everything to go his right way, doesn't he, Admire Robson? Because he got back in the ruck there and he worked home well and he just ran out of room. He hasn't got that turn of foot. It's a staying race, I know, but Shabao has. I went back through his profile and had a look at him. He won the Roy Higgins after winning three in a row at the 2600-metre gallop at Flemington. And he settled and he did everything right and he just galloped out nice and strong. He's three runs this time in point, three of a length, one length, 1.6 lengths at $5.50 there. Willie Pike missed the boat on him. Sorry, Willie, sure at Flemington. Yep. Shared Ambition went around him at the 700 metres and he missed his spot. And then he had to come out and get around them. And his last furlong was better than anything in the race. Shabao, Zara goes aboard, big jockey change. Nothing against Willie Pike or your supporters or whatnot, but he just hasn't clicked with this horse this time in. Shabao for mine.
There you go. Very quickly, because I know we're time pressure here, but Shabao, in a word, is there a realistic chance in the Melbourne Cup if it wins this?
Yes, he is.
Admire Robson?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Well, there you go. Backing for both. All right, we'll have a look at race 9 on the card. It's the last for the day. Diamond Effort, your favourite at $3.60. California Zimbal at $4.80. Fatous at $5. Bless Her, $8.50. Fiesta, $9.50. Double figures from there. Julesy.
Yeah, Map again, just with these straight races, we know they sit up, so don't really have in terms of positioning. Don't think they'll go overly hard. Where did I settle in this race? Well, I think I really wanted to be with Fatous, but that gate one really worries me. I just don't know if that's going to be the place to be. If I find out that is okay throughout the day, I'll probably want to be Fatous because I think she's got the best turn of foot. I settled on the one down the bottom, Zanaya, at a bit of a price. I think she might be a really nice horse, this one. The only real time Huey, like a good jockey, and I'm not, no disrespect to the others, but a significant senior jockey was on, busted the clock at Warwick Farm. Hugh Bowman rode it. J-Mac goes on. I think it's drawn the right part of the track. Have something on. Because I reckon it's a horse with plenty of progression, Zanaya.
Okay, noted. Goes into my same race multi there, Julesy, but I'm with Fatous to swap the placings there at Caulfield when they last met. Look, on the map, California Zimbal was always going to travel in front of Fatusa. It was her first run in Victoria, and Caulfield running into that first bend. She wobbled around it. She got came off the bridle too early, but her last 50, when she actually knew what she was doing, went whoosh. She's won 102.56 over 1,100, and the track's going to be fast here. And Julesy, you know what? It's not going to worry me what happens with her barrier on Derby Day, because they're all going to know where the best spot is. So if it's out to the middle, to the outside, they're all going to shift out there, and she's going to have her chance to gallop. And I reckon the straight track's right up her alley, especially with the target and hot speed in this, for Toos to shine in the last on Derby Day.
Very good. When we come back, we've got Martial Law and plenty more.
Welcome back, everybody, to Three Wide No Cover. It's now time to talk tactics for the Victoria Derby this year. It's a short run to that first bend, and jockeys have got to make up their minds as to which position they want to hold before they get around to that first bend. So let's go back and have a look at a replay, because we're going back to Caulfield. This is a fantastic lead-up. The mile and a quarter gallop here. We're looking at Let's Caracadeal sitting outside a really soft lead. He raced very, very fresh on this occasion because he never had a really good gallop. His run prior, he got caught up at Flemington in behind them. Then we have Tura Judy outside him, just sneaking up to put the pressure on him. He's left a little bit flat-footed there. Alborado over race, poked out three deep. And then we've got the big Redwood down the outside, and then hit the shot outside of him in the gold colours. You see Let's Caracadeal just lose his way a little bit there. He's not quite sure what to do. Look at his left ear there when he gets to the front once again. He pokes it forward, still doesn't know what he's quite doing. Alborado really digs in deep. Now, there's not much between those first five runners. So the battle of tactics is really important as we head to Flemington for this 2,500-metre gallop. Here's my speed chart, which might play out on the day. Doesn't look like too much genuine speed, but this is a Vic Derby. Remember Damien Oliver on warning last year, jumping from a mid to wide gate. He pinged the lids, he rode him forward, and he trusted his hands that the horse would come back underneath him after he sat outside the leader when they rolled out of the bend the first time. Let's Caracadeal's got that gate speed. Jump and hold the paint like Ace High did back in 2017 when Ty Anglin rode the horse, drawn an inside barrier. Those horses that have drawn out deep, Tour of Duty, Redwood Shadow, who won his maiden sitting up in the first half a dozen, why wouldn't you use your barriers and come across and then have the advantage on the Shetswayo, if you like, Alborado, who's going to sit outside of, you've got to sit outside of Young Werther and follow him all the way, because I think that's the battle of the two to three pairs back just behind that speed as they roll out of the straight the first time. Hit the shot or roll back. Johnny Get Angry's a big horse. He hasn't got the gate speed. He'll get back. And Cherry Tortoni, the other horse in the market from that wide barrier, he'll be put away. He'll be ridden cold. And he'll be ridden similar to Efficient, I would have thought, Michael Rodd back in 2006. Watch that replay where he sat back in behind him. Only had four or five horses off him from the top of the straight. And he picked them apart. Inside the clock tower, he got off the fence and he stayed better than any other three-year-old in the race Efficient. Watch that ride from Cherry Tortoni. But the battle of tactics early doors is Let's Caracadeal holding the paint early doors, like Ace High, as I mentioned, he did when he drew his low gate, and ask the question of Tura Judy, Redwood Shadow, Chetswayo will come across. Young Werther will jump and be as close as he can. He doesn't want to give a position up to these horses on his right shoulder as they roll out of the straight the first time, because when they set at that mile and a quarter, when they get around that first bend, it's a 400-metre straight run. Right there, jockeys have got to switch their horses off and not panic. Ace High popped off the fence when he won it at about the 1,300-metre mark. He's a big boy. He wanted to stay three deep. Warning jumped off the fence at the 700-metre mark when he was one out, one back. He wanted to be three deep. And as I mentioned, if you're going to ride the paint, ride it cool. Give yourself plenty of time, just like Efficient did when he got back and cut the corner and came out off the fence at the clock tower. Speed early out of the straight. It's a derby. It's Group 1. Get your position early, jockeys, if you're drawn out and you've pinged the lids. Relax your horse from the mile and a quarter. Make sure they switch off. They've got a journey to run. And then don't panic from the 700 to the 300. They've all got to run this trip, and your timing has got to be perfect. You can pop out three deep, four deep, and even five deep, like Ace High did when he won it in 2017. But don't go. Just hold together until you get to the top of the straight and make sure you gallop out well. Fantastic race this year. There's not much between them.
Brilliant as always, SD. Thank you. And that's, I say it every week, that's why you watch the show. The other reason we watch the show is for Julian Valance. Here's punter education.
Thanks, Wally. Well, there's been plenty of discussion around Young Werther going into the VRC Derby at his third race start and probably more importantly, his first ever prep. And he's going to be off 28 days. I just want to go through history of the last 13 winners of the VRC Derby. And here we can see what start they were going into the race and what prep they were in and what days they were off. It just gives you a guide. Now, whether you want to believe in this and think that Young Werther can not win out of this, or whether you don't really care about history, because in essence, you know, the more we know about the past, the better we are prepared for our future. But I think Danny O'Brien and Damien Oliver will be going in that we're here to create history. We're not going to repeat it. And what they're doing is obviously we haven't been seen before. As you can see, warning, seven starts, second prep. You've got horses like Ace High, Prized Icon. They were in their third prep, 12 starts, 16 starts. So they, in essence, they were hardened horses. Two of these horses are off 28 days. So that's what Young Werther's doing. He's obviously going to be off third. His third ever start is going to be a VRC Derby. Does that mean the market's going to take a set against him? I think this is the important thing for the punters. We've got all that history. You can see that. Past winners, you can go through. Clearly, Young Werther's doing something to try and win a race that no one's done before. But we saw with Russian Camelot in the South Australian Derby, 1,600 metres to 2,500. He was off 28 days and the market didn't care. He was $3.50 into $2.90. I don't think the market's going to take a set against Young Werther because it's his third race start to win a VRC Derby and he's in the first prep. Yes, it's a consideration, but if you're looking for reasons not to back Young Werther, I don't think that's one of them. A horse like Cross Counter won the Melbourne Cup at its ninth start, Rekindling won it at its 10th start, and you've got a favourite for Tuesday that he's going to be running at his fifth start. The world is different. You can't even go now and watch the full series of Faulty Towers because we're in a different world. Young Werther can still win the Derby, even though it's his first prep and going to be his third race start. I don't think the market's going to take a set against him.
Yeah, very different world, Julesy. And I'll tell you what, if you look at those figures in 20 years' time, they'll look like something completely different again. As you said, the Melbourne Cup and all other races have changed complexion. So why not third start? Young Werther, why can't it do it? All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Wolf of Wally Street. All right, let's make that money now. We're going to start in Morphettville, Julesy, or at Morphettville in Adelaide.
Race 8, number 9, Aqueduct. This is a horse that's come over from New Zealand. It's had the 4 runs in South Australia. 3 of those have been in fast run races. It just keeps improving. Then last start, obviously got beaten in the Murray Bridge Cup, but it was a slowly run race. Last 400, last 200 was outstanding, so it just shows versatility. I think Aqueduct can win in Adelaide.
Is that you're playing there too?
Adelaide, yes. Morphettville, a sitting bull. Going to wait until the lucky last. A race 9, number 4. He won at Murray Bridge, a 900-metre race, and he ran around. He's still learning. He's a big horse. He's very well named here, and he was unlucky last start. And he just got back in behind him. He's still learning what it's all about. Dom Tenor goes on board, and I love the tempo of 1,100 metres for him now. So he's drawn inside again, sitting bull in the last for me.
Beautiful. I've heard of old bull, young bull, Julesy. That's sitting bull. All right, Doomben, up in Queensland. Who you got?
Race 3, number 1, Lyrical Girl. 3 in a row this prep, and they've all been in really fast time. A second inside, 1.25 second inside, and then last start, 3/4 inside. Nice horse, Lyrical Girl. Hopefully he can keep winning for us.
I'm hearing the tune you're playing there, Julesy. Race 7, number 5, Emerald Kingdom. Julesy says, he's a Julesy horse. Goes out fast, he comes home fast. He's fast. Because he won first up, and he was 4 wide, and he was working. He smashed the clock, ran 56.21. This was first up, he got beat. He was a sitting duck at $4.80, and it was just a massive performance. Second up last time, he bolted in over 12, and then he won by 4 lengths over 1,400 metres. He's a serious horse. Emerald Kingdom, race 7, number 5.
There you go. And in Sydney, one's going early, one's going late. Julesy, you've got one, race 9.
Yeah, race 9, number 6, Fender. I just looked for a wet tracker. 2 runs on the wet track have been the 2 peak figures for this horse. So hopefully, obviously, it's going to be wet that this horse will get through it. We know that. So we're with Fender.
Okay, race 2, number 9, she may be scratched, but Perfect Radiance, watch this filly, because when she won on debut, she was heavily backed. 2.10 into $1.95 into $2. Second and third horses won. Then she was tested against Peltzer on a heavy track, spelled, came back, broke the record at Newcastle. Watch her, race 2, number 9, wherever she runs.
There you go, Black Book, if it doesn't run. Julesy, you got 2 in Perth?
Yeah, race 3, number 5, Truly Great. I think you can back that horse with confidence. And in race 8, number 9, Inspirational Girl, 7 from 9, just keeps winning. Hopefully you can continue to do that. Make it 8 from 10, Inspirational Girl.
Esther, you've got 1 in Melbourne too.
Yeah, Octane, baby. 3-9, pure Octane. 58.5 down to 54. Come on, man.
There you go. So good ones there from around the country. You'll see it come up here. One bet. Who is it, SD? If you're having one bet from around the country, who's it going to be?
It's all just a little bit of history repeating. Race 3, number 9.
Octane. And Julesy?
We'll go to Flemington Race 2 Personal.
It still didn't make it onto the graphic. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we've got the quaddie. All right, welcome back. It's quaddie time. SD, we got it last week. We got it the week before. Let's get it 3 weeks in a row. What have we got in the first leg?
Bit of deja vu.
Yeah.
Yogi Berra.
Let's have a look at the Coolmore, yeah, shall we, here, folks. One, Farnan goes in. Wild Ruler, number 2. We're going to put in the fillies. 12, Swats That, and also September Run Julesy.
Yes, I'm happy with that.
Bang, four.
Let's go to the Derby, the feature, shall we? 1, Cherry Tortoni. 2, Alborado. Let's Carrack a Deal, number 4. Young Verta goes in. And just in case Redwood Shadow rolls forward and outstays him, he goes in?
Yeah, it's tricky. So I'd just do whatever you want to do.
Wiggity whack to the Cantala now. Wild Ruler, number 4. 5 is Yulong Prince. 9 is Rock. And 15, Nonconformist. We're going short.
We are. It's tricky.
We want number 13 in there as well.
What was that?
I don't know.
Good question.
Had it on my sheet.
Right.
Well, Buffalo River.
Yeah, no, we left him out. We loved him, yeah, in the Toorak.
All right, left him
I
out.
I don't think he can win, so...
Good question. Wally?
It is a good
question.
There
you question. Go. There you
I go. He's going to struggle at Flemington on a dry deck.
Group 3 sprint is the Mares, the last leg of the quaddie. Let's hope you're alive and kicking. 3, Diamond Effort. 4, California Zimbal. And 8, Fitus, which makes that 3 legs in the last leg for your $100. 33.33. Cyril Rioli from the boundary.
And I'll tell you right now, I reckon we're getting closer to 40% if Buffalo River is not in that, if my maths is correct. But that's fine. Now, speaking about a little something extra, this is very exciting. If you've seen anything over Sportsbet Social, you would know about Treasure Punt. We'll get a graphic up now to explain this. Treasure Punt. $10,000, a $10,000 bonus bet is going to be put into 10 sports bet accounts, 10 a.m. Friday, Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. You will have till 10 p.m. on Friday to place that bet on any horse on Derby Day racing at Flemington. Now, it's pretty simple. You've got to put the bet on between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. So if you're seeing this, because we're on a lot of channels. If you're seeing this after 10 p.m. Friday, and you haven't seen it, well, you're probably living under a rock because it's been everywhere, but you've missed it. But if it's before that, check your account right now. It could be you. Jump on your app, have a look. Who would you put your $10,000 on, SD?
After 10 a.m. on Friday, I'll be chickity-checking my account. It'll be going on Let's Crack a Deal, Race 7, the Derby. Race 7, the Derby, Let's Crack a Deal to win $90,000.
How good would that be? Who would you go? Would you go big or small, safe or...
I think with bonus bets, whenever you get them, I reckon you should go big. Ooh. So I'm going to be going Zaniah in the last, which I think is around that $26. So you're going to be winning $250K.
You're going to be winning $250,000, Julian.
Correct. Well, I love the fact that it wasn't put in the quaddie, so that's a positive sign as well.
There you go. So, well, you take your Buffalo River and that, and you'll probably still get around the 33%. See, I was thinking I'd go Young Werder, didn't have the money, $4, 30 grand in the kicker. Imagine the sort of end-of-year trip we could have with that.
Could only imagine.
To the next suburb across.
Bonkers in Honkers, wasn't that?
Have a great Derby Day, guys. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next week.
How did that bonkers?